asking the question this afternoon, who needs to be baptized? And it's a question that really spans a broad spectrum in connection with people, their age, their understanding, and their desire. It speaks to those that are physically mature as far as their age is concerned, some of which deny the need for baptism. They need to be taught. Invariably, in congregations of the Lord, you have children that are taught from a very early age concerning Jesus Christ and His love. And in the teaching, and all of that rightly so, in the teaching there is what goes along with it, the teaching concerning baptism. And there will be those that will want to be baptized that there is recognition by the parents and by some brethren that they're really not ready. And then there are those that are of similar age that we begin to worry about who aren't baptized. Why haven't they been baptized? And so I want to bring this lesson really with that particular thought in mind of looking at Scripture and seeing what the Scriptures say concerning who needs to be baptized. First of all, not babies. And we understand that. We understand that baptism for those that believe, those that have faith, and those that can act upon that belief and faith unto obedience unto God. Jesus had said Himself in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." In that statement right there, there is a consciousness of, a self-awareness of wrong that is in one's life that would cause them to want to be obedient to the Lord. Babies don't meet that requirement. When we look at Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38, babies can't repent because there's nothing to repent from. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. It is a change of mind from doing one's own will, being so self-confident that God is left out of the picture, changing that aspect to an attitude that God is needed in my life because I am in sin and there's nothing that I can do about that except through Christ Jesus. Peter said to those that were cut to the heart by the preaching of the gospel, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," which is that very purpose that Jesus came unto salvation, eternal life, that relationship with Him. Babies can't do that. Babies have nothing to repent of. Look over in Romans 9, chapter and verse 11. "For the children, not being yet born, nor having any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him who calls." We understand that there is a time in childhood from birth unto a certain point where there is not the knowledge of good and evil. There is not the true knowledge of right and wrong, especially in connection with God's will. They will learn before God's will is known that they shouldn't throw trash on the floor, that they shouldn't break windows, they shouldn't do things such as that. But that's not sin against God. That is actions, of course, of a child. And they'll learn that first, but it's not evil and good. That comes later on. Also, those with mental impairment are not in need of baptism. These are in a safe state before God in innocence. And sometimes that lasts all the way to death, well into the 80s, that they really never realize that right and wrong. These are not fit subjects. These are not those to whom baptism is for. These are not ones that are ready for baptism. We also note that baptism is not for a ceremony. And there are so many today that will visit the Holy Land. I'll put that in quotation marks. I don't believe there is such a thing on earth. And they'll come to places such as the Jordan River, the baptismal place here that they have. in the Jordan River, and they will recommit their lives to the Lord and be baptized, or else come to the Lord being baptized in the very river that Jesus Christ was baptized in. And that has certain meaning to them because it's from a ceremonial standpoint. But those that need to be baptized are not baptized as, because of a ceremony, and they recognize that. Baptism is not a ceremony, it's a likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We see this in Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. And do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is that likeness, not of physical death, not of a physical resurrection from physical death, and then starting a new life over, but rather that which is spiritual in nature, where one recognizes their dead condition before God. And in recognizing their dead condition, they realize that they must show forth that likeness of Christ, that just as Christ was taken down from the cross and buried, because His body was dead, He too must be, or one must be buried in the waters of baptism, in accordance with God's will, in order to be raised then to walk in newness of life, becoming then not no longer a sinner, but now one that is saved and one that is in a new life. And so he says in verse 5, for we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. It is a recognition of the fact that this is not a ceremony. This is not something that is done to be witnessed from the standpoint of a physical, beautiful event. It is a beautiful event in the spiritual sense, but not in the physical. It is not a ceremony, as so many try to make it this day. It is obedience to God's command. In Acts 10, chapter and verse 48, after Peter preaches to Cornelius and his household, he asked the Jews that went with him, Cornelius being a Gentile, can any man forbid water, seeing that these two must be baptized? And he says, and then the record says, he commanded them to be baptized. It is a command from God, a recognition that that command needs to be followed. And then not from a ceremonial aspect, but from a parallel, so to speak, with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, where things change in one's life, where they take on a more mature attitude in serving God, where no longer it is about fun and games, but it is serious understanding in becoming a Christian of what God wants for them, and their lives must change, and their attitudes must change, and their mouths must change, and their desires must change. And it's not ceremonial. It is that which is spiritual. It is to wash away sins through obedience to God's command. Acts 22 and verse 16. Whenever Ananias walks in to Saul, before he becoming a Christian, he says, and why do you tarry? Arise now and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. You see, there are those that don't recognize that this baptism is called for in Scripture. It's not ceremonial because it's about taking away of sins and obedience unto God. A person needs to recognize their sinful state, their sinful condition, in order to be baptized. And that's the point also in connection with this. Baptism is not a command of the church. It's not focusing attention on people, but on God. Baptism is not a celebration, as the world puts it. It certainly is a spiritual joyous occasion when one is baptized, but not a celebration of the world the way the world puts it. And baptism is not for those who want to please someone else. It is for one's salvation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt of the flesh, but an appeal to God, not to man, not to make man happy, but to make God pleased, and also to receive of His grace and His mercy. An appeal to God for a good conscience, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are those that will get to a point in their life where their conscience will be bothering them. about obedience unto God in baptism and wherever that takes place. Then there is that understanding this is not about a celebration of man, but rather this is about obedience unto God, and the conscience then needs to be cleansed by obedience to God. These are the ones that are fit subjects. It is also, as we see in Matthew 16, verse 16, for salvation. For salvation. Without the understanding that one is lost and they are hopeless and they are in bondage and they are serving Satan, they really can't come to be pleasing unto the Lord without that knowledge, without that understanding in their life. Baptism is personal obedience to please God and not people, is done to become a Christian. I'm sure that we've all witnessed in the past, at least some of us have, baptism start to take place, and it just seems as though it amplifies, and there is the telling of it as you look at it that this is not being done because of conviction of sin, a deep desire for salvation, but this is being done because others are doing it. Because maybe mama, daddy, grandpa, grandma, others are doing it. Because friends of the same age or near the same age are doing it. So therefore, I want to do that. No. No, it's not about pleasing anyone other than the Lord. Coming to Him in obedience. It is not so one can partake of the Lord's Supper or lead in worship services. And that, of course, in connection with the males, leading of the worship service or partaking of the Lord's Supper. I believe I've told you before, I remember children when I was young. I'm going to get baptized so I can eat that bread and drink that juice. And that was their focal point. I want to partake of that. Not because I want to show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until He comes, but rather I just want to be able to do that. I see other people doing that, so I want to be able to do that. That's not the point. And neither is it in leading worship service. I've told you in the past of a man that the congregation where I was in, we had to take discipline on. He being in his 70s or late 60s at the time, would not come to worship service unless he was scheduled to lead singing. He was not setting forth the good example. He was not, in my estimation, I believe as the elders put forth, he was not convicted to Christ. He was convicted to making a show of himself. Wonderful song leader, by the way. But that's not conviction to the Lord. So it's not about for these reasons. Christians engage in worship for spiritual reasons. Jesus mentions this to the woman at the well in John 4, chapter verses 23 and 24. The hour is coming and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be worshipers. God is spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not about the outward action. It is about inward obedience. It is about true understanding, spiritual understanding of what God requires in true worship unto Him. Christians partake of the Lord's Supper as a memorial of Jesus' death and our forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Do this in remembrance of me, he says, concerning the bread, also concerning the fruit of the vine. And he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A question for these people. Is your soul in jeopardy at this time if you're not baptized? If you partook of the Lord's Supper, would it be different than before partaking of the Lord's Supper? Is your soul in jeopardy? An understanding of the need for baptism, and that true worship has to do with the understanding of that which is in spirit and in truth and not from the physical. The Lord's Supper is not a meal. It is a memorial, a remembrance of Christ's death that He accomplished for us. Christians sing to praise God and admonish each other. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God, Christ richly dwell with you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And it's more than just the vocal sounds that come forth from the vocal cords, from the body. It is that spiritual thanksgiving unto God, the praise unto God, and then the admonishing of one another through God's word in song, set in song, as we see here in this particular passage. Christians are engaged in God's word. And there needs to be an element of maturity in order for that to take place. When we look over in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 32, Jesus, after his resurrection, was traveling along with two men that did not know who he was. They were on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking about the events that took place in Jerusalem just a few days before. And Jesus said, "What took place?" And he said, they said, "Are you a stranger? Do you not know the things that took place?" Of course, talking about the crucifixion of Christ. And then he revealed himself to them and began to teach God's word. And after hearing God's word, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" There has to be a desire to learn God's word. And more than learn it, make application in one's life. And the application of God's word is to those that are lacking in matters of life, spiritual life especially. For some, they're not ready for that. But those that understand their lacking, their need for the word of God, for direction in their life, they need to have that attitude of, did our hearts not burn as the word of God was spoken to us? Christians pray. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. "First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." And it is prayers not only on behalf of what one wants, and the wants need to be toward those things that really are needs. And not only that, but also supplication on behalf of others, where we're not thinking just about ourselves, but we're thinking about others also. I know that prayers have been offered for several of our members here. And those are the prayers that God expects, along with that praise and thankfulness, that we can be children of God. Christians give. 1 Corinthians 16, chapter and verse 2, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. I believe that there are those that become Christians that are not old enough to hold regular jobs. Hopefully they, before becoming children of God, have recognized the need in giving and that their parents helped them with that. And there is a collection of what has been given to them, and they give that back to the Lord to teach that lesson. But it goes back also to the focus. It's not about me. It's about God and doing His will. And so Christians give. Who is it that needs to be baptized? The person that needs to be baptized is one that understands they are in sin. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1 through 3, Paul reminds those of Ephesus that were sinners but are now Christians. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience." If you understand that you are a child of the devil, then it is the beginning point of you being a fit subject for baptism. If you don't understand that, you're not a fit subject. Because you see, there's not but two choices. Either you are a servant of God or you are a servant of Satan. One or the other. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, just as others." Do you understand? If you understand that you are in sin, if you understand that you do sin, then you begin to have the understanding as one fit for baptism. If you don't understand that, you're not fit for baptism. If you think that you've done no wrong whatsoever, you call God a liar. 1 John, first chapter, verses 8 and 10. You have to understand that you're a sinner in order to be baptized. You have to understand that Christ alone is your salvation. And it's not by works that are done. It's not by your own logic or wisdom, but rather that Christ Jesus is your salvation. That's the reason then that Peter said in Acts 4, chapter and verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." If you don't understand the importance of Jesus Christ, you're not fit for baptism. You're not ready. If you understand that importance, that He is the only means of salvation, then you begin to be fit. A fit subject for baptism. One that needs to be baptized is willing to give up their way of living for God's way. Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have heard, unfortunately, children become judges of men and make accusation against those that are Christians over matters that are of accident or out of their control. You call yourself a Christian and then that took place? An individual that has that attitude doesn't realize that they are with flaw also. They need to understand that they can make mistakes. They need to understand that grace is being extended to them by God, and that in becoming a Christian, you extend that grace to others also. There has to be that understanding, and that it is a continual renewal of the mind so that we can show forth that we are children of God, and that's the ones that need to be baptized and understand that they are ready to make that commitment. I'll no longer act like a child, but I will act as one that's looking to the Lord. The person that needs to be baptized is one that is willing to do what God says through the Bible because they need His mercy. If they're not convicted of sin, if an individual is not convicted of sin, they are not ready to be baptized. When we look at the remainder of that text that we started out with in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 7 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And it's not about us, but it's about Christ Jesus. And when there is that understanding that comes into one's life, well, then they can be fit subjects for baptism. So I ask this afternoon, do you need to be baptized? Unfortunately, there are those that have been baptized that really didn't know what they were doing. There have been those that, and I say baptized just for understanding, they went under the water, they got wet. But by not understanding what it was for, not understanding the purpose, not understanding the lacking of themselves in condition before God, all they did was get wet. But do you have the understanding of these things? That without Christ Jesus, you are hopelessly lost. You are a sinner. And in that state, there is a disgusting aspect to one's life before God. Do you understand that? Do you need to be baptized? It's not about want. It's a need from understanding. A need that is there because of one's spiritual condition, which is separate and apart from God, with realization of the fact that they are not serving God, but they are serving Satan. Oscar's not in here. Thank you. And so, if you understand these things, I ask you then to realize that we are here to assist you to be baptized, become a child of God, and be in a saved condition this evening. If you understand these things, you're a fit subject for baptism. And I will tell you, there are those in a range of ages that come to that understanding. And then there are those, by the fruit of what they do, it's recognizable that they're not ready. If you're a young person, talk with your parents, with your grandparents. Sit down, have a discussion with them concerning your condition and your desire, if you want to be baptized, and come to an understanding together from God's Word. If you're older and have not been baptized, remission of your sins, you're lost and you're hopeless. Maybe you've not realized that it is a commandment from God, and it's not ceremonial, but rather it is that which is in spirit and in truth. It is a likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Will you do that this evening? And then all of us, will we live for God from this point forward? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.